Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. A Sunday school teacher was telling her class of second graders the story that's found in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. She told them how while they were here on the earth, the rich man had everything money could buy, and poor Lazarus had to beg just to survive. But when they died, the rich man went to a place of horrible torment, while Lazarus went to a place of paradise. As she was concluding the story, the teacher asked the students, "Now, which man would you rather be, Lazarus or the rich man?" One little boy's hand immediately shot up, and he said, "Well, when I'm alive, I want to live like the rich man, but when I die, I want to be like Lazarus." That may be a bit humorous to us, but unfortunately, there's a lot of truth in it. Many of us who profess to follow Jesus continue to attempt to do what he said is impossible. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." You and I cannot serve God and earthly riches or material wealth. Why is that not possible? Because God and mammon are uncompromising opposites. Mammon desires acquisition and accumulation. God desires sowing and scattering abroad. Mammon gauges success by what a person gets. God evaluates success based on what we give. In light of Jesus' words, faithfulness to the one means absolute separation from the other. In a previous discussion, we focused on the first 13 verses of this chapter, Luke chapter 16, and the subject of true riches. In those verses, Jesus spelled out for his hearers the several disciplines that are essential for acquiring true riches. You know, one of the ways a teacher gauges the effectiveness of their teaching is to observe the response or the reaction of the audience. And the opening verse of our text shows us that Jesus clearly struck a nerve with his teaching on riches. So I turn now to Luke chapter 16 and verses 14 to 31 to address the subject, the peril of mammon. Listen carefully as I read that text, Luke chapter 16, verses 14 to 31, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. In this text, Jesus warns us of the tragic results of choosing to serve mammon. The first tragic result is a contemptuous spirit. Immediately after Jesus makes the concluding statement, You cannot serve God and mammon, the Pharisees display their contempt for him. Why did they do that? Because, as our text says, they were covetous, and Jesus' teaching brought piercing conviction to their hearts. When you and I or anyone else is confronted with the truth, we must respond. And the Pharisees show us one response. They couldn't refute Jesus' message, so they rejected the messenger. And you know, sadly, this is the majority response of those who attempt to serve both God and riches. Luke tells us the Pharisees were covetous, that is, they were literally lovers of money. And since Jesus said you can't serve God and money, that meant they couldn't be serving God. That same conclusion is true for you and me, if we are lovers of money. As members of God's chosen people, and as the leaders of the ruling religious class, they couldn't stomach the teaching of this untrained rabbi. Who was he to point out their failure to handle riches faithfully? So they derided him. What does that mean? Well, to deride someone is to subject them to unusually bitter or contemptuous ridicule. And it's usually done either in speaking or in writing. This word is used only one other place in the scriptures, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 35. In that text, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and the religious leaders are ridiculing him by saying, Ha! He saved others, but he can't save himself. The Greek word that's used here leaves the impression that nothing was said. In other words, their derision was nonverbal. It means to turn up the nose at someone, to sneer or to scoff. You know, these leaders had listened without comment to the 3 parables Jesus gave that were aimed directly at them. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But now they react to the 4th parable that was spoken to the disciples. We get the impression they didn't say anything, but their faces were eloquent with their disdain for Jesus. While they were communicating their contempt nonverbally, Jesus could see into their hearts, and he let them know it. He exposed their contempt for the truth. He knew they made a show of being righteous in public, but their hearts were filled with pride and sinful vices. And he also knew they valued the praise of men more than they valued the approval of God. So he spoke to them withering words of rebuke. He reminded them that the things that are highly valued by men are an abomination to God. They are loathsome. They are hateful in his sight. The word abomination literally means to feel nausea because of the stench, to abhor something or to detest it. Now, at first glance, verses 16 to 18 in our text seem to be disconnected from the rest of the text, but we know the scriptures are not random. They are inspired. And so these comments are an important part of Jesus' explanation of the Pharisees' contemptuous spirit. In this case, contempt for the very law they claimed that they were upholding. Jesus reminded them that the era of the law and the prophets ended with John the Baptist. Now the kingdom of God is being declared, and everyone, including the publicans and sinners, was pressing into it. The people were energetic in their response to Jesus' ministry. There was a moral enthusiasm and a spiritual passion that hadn't been seen for a long time. The crowds were massive, and they were still getting bigger. But the Pharisees didn't share the enthusiasm of the people. So in verses 17 and 18, Jesus confronts them with their contempt for the authority and principles of the Old Testament scriptures. By doing this, Jesus reminds them that they were not the custodians of the true riches, as they supposed. He reminded them it was easier for heaven and earth to perish than for the smallest part of the law to fail. The tittle, or the dot, that Jesus was talking about was a little hook-like mark that was found on some Hebrew letters that distinguished them from other letters. And where did Jesus go for an illustration of their contempt for God's law? He went back to the creation command for marital fidelity and permanence. Why did he do that? Because, like other parts of God's law, the Pharisees had found a way to work around this to do what they wanted, much like many people do today. So Jesus didn't intend to weaken the force of the law in this allusion to the economy of his kingdom. Instead, in an unexpected way, he drove home its higher requirements with a sharpness that the Pharisees couldn't miss. During the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, the views of Rabbi Hillel were predominant, and his basic conclusion with respect to marriage was, a man could divorce his wife for almost any reason. And it seems from Jesus' teaching in other places that the Pharisees embraced that teaching in their practice. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Peril of Mammon. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Peril of Mammon. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Peril of Mammon. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Peril of Mammon. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.